Good. Okay. So, 2 days ago, we'll just pretend yesterday never happened, right? Okay. So, to review where we were, we'd said that there are three fundamental questions I think we need to answer about Yartoshev, sort of in the broadly speaking, right? One is the what. Right? What does a Ger Toshev need to accept? And we saw there were three positions in the Gemara. What were they?
What? Has to accept not to do a Avodah Zarah, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and not eat a Vela, to eat everything but the Nevela.
Correct. And that was a subcategory, which was? Lav versus Karis, yeah. Right? Yep.
Yeah.
That was question one. Question two is the how question, mm-hmm. Right? And then what's the third question?
What now?
Right, the what? Right, the
what is that
equals what?
What
right?
Does that entitle him to?
Right, the what, the how, and what now, and what does that do? Okay. Now, like I said, these can all be related, but these are the three questions you need to answer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I said we skipped from question one to question three, right? Which is. Okay, well, what is a Ger Toshev, right? Like, what is the result? How do we define him? And we saw that, at least at first glance, right, there are two potential models, right? One is to say that a Ger Toshev is essentially a non-Jew. Right? That's it, he's just a non-Jew. He's a good non-Jew. He keeps mitzvos, right? But he's a good gomor, right? Meaning if I, you know, for whatever reason, some people don't recognize the possibility of such a thing. But there's such a thing as a metaphysical status, let's just say, right? You know, like up in Shemayim, what are you?
Yes.
Right?
What do you mean by that?
Yes, exactly.
But it doesn't
right?
Mean a metaphysical
status. I don't know. Right, but meaning you could say, one second, so you could say that a goy is, Ger Toshev is just a goy who keeps mitzvos. Right? Metaphysically, he's totally a goy, he's identical, but he's a good goy, a very good goy. Right? But he's not a Jew, he just isn't.
Still,
right?
He's still in the seven mitzvahs.
Correct! He's a good, a tzaddik. Right? He goes, he goes to Olam Haba, right? Etc.
Tzaddik.
Is it tzaddik? You okay? Or you could say, as the Rebbe Nagir from the Meiri seemed to say, which is the no. There's an actual metaphysical change. He's, in some sense, he's converted, not to Judaism, but he's no longer a non-Jew either. He's somewhere in between.
So is he Ger Toshev?
Right, like I said, yes, but a Ger Toshev is a status. Right, the way Gemara says it by an Eved is, Michal Akum Yatzo L'chal Yisrael Loba. Right, he's left the status of non-Jew, but he's not yet entered the status of Jew, but he's not a non-Jew plus, nor is he a Jew minus, he's a Ger Toshev, it's a chalos, it's a status, right? Now he said, this is not necessary, but it could be that this is the machlokes between the positions in the Gemara, right, who say that a Ger Toshev keeps all 612 versus those who say it's just rejecting of a Avodah Zarah or keeping the Sheva Mitzvos. Right? Could be, right? Not Mukhrach. Right? Meaning, right? If you just, right? Then was the question of Shabbos, right? Where if you really think, like in the Gemara, he's like Chayev, the way Rabbi Gershom seems to think, Mid Araisa, to keep some form of Shabbos. That would point in the direction, especially since a non-Jew isn't allowed to keep Shabbos. The fact that he has to keep Shabbos in some sense
means he's some type of Jew.
Would seem that he's some sort of middle category, right? If you say that no, that's only Derabbanan, right? Or we paskin like the Sheet in the Gemara, he doesn't have to keep Shabbos at all, right? You'd say, well, that makes sense because he's a goy. He's just a goy, right? A good goy, but a goy, right? Now, what we started talking about yesterday was the question of how does this question, the how question, the process question, affect the question of the what? Right? Meaning, so the Rambam holds, right, the Gemara in Erechin, you can't deny, says, and this was number 13, says that there's something about Ger Toshev that doesn't apply nowadays without, right, Bizman Sha'ein Hayovel No Hague. Right? So if there is no Sanhedrin, and there is no Rov Yoshvei Olam. The majority of Klal Yisrael doesn't live in Israel, so we don't count the Yovlot. Right? There is no Yovel. Shemitah we count, right? Probably Midrabanan, but Yovel we don't. Yes?
When they do the counting, it's not personal by the property, it's by a universal time. Right?
Correct.
And I was just curious how
the Yovel, not your Yovel, the Yovel.
How do they keep that in track, that every... It starts from... When did it start?
A long time ago. right?
It's funny, ever since then.
It's a big machloket exactly when it started, and that's why it's not clear when the shvitas and the yovelos are. But
so the Gemara clearly says that there's something about ger tosha that doesn't apply bisman shev in a yovel noeg. The Rambam says, how much of ger toshav apply? Simple pshat in Rambam. How much of the halacha of ger toshav apply without a formal procedure of acceptance?
Just a whatever.
How many of the laws of ger toshav apply according to the Rambam? Simple pshat.
Zero.
Thank you. Right. That was like a hint. Right? Zero. Right. The Rambam says if there's no kabbalah. Right. This is the Rambam we read yesterday. Right. The Rambam says that there is no. Right, without acceptance, there is no dinim. Now, we saw that there were some who disagreed with this read of the Rambam, like the Kesef Mishnah. And the Kesef Mishnah says, no, they're still allowed to live in the land. Right, certain aspects of ger toshav still apply. The Ravid says that explicitly. Right, the Ravid says that many of the halachot of ger toshav apply. Why? Because he keeps the mitzvos. He keeps the Sheva mitzvos. Who cares whether you accepted him or not? The only thing that depends on the formal acceptance is like, right, to take one of his examples, right, very few. One of them is putting him on the social welfare, right, laws, right? The chiyuv of supporting him monetarily, right? Okay, but fundamentally, can a ger toshav exist without a formal acceptance?
No.
According to Ravid.
Yeah.
Yes, right, and you would say that this might be dependent on this question as well, right? If you think that it's a miktas gerus, right, someone doesn't become a ger by simply keeping mitzvot. He becomes a ger by being accepted by a Beis Din and tefillah and milah and all that stuff. Right? But if he wants to be a good Jew, but he never bothers going through conversion, what is he? A goy.
Yeah.
He's a goy. Right?
Whatever you want.
Right? That's not a bad thing. It's just, right, someone can't say, right, there was a proposal by a conservative rabbi a few years ago, by Rabbi Lau Lavi. Lau Lavi. He's a Lau, like he's Rabbi Lau's nephew.
Seriously?
Yes. Naftali? Naftali? I think his name is Naftali? No, Naftali? No, that was his father. Amichai? I think his father was Naftali, he's Amichai? Lo Yoda. Rabbi Benny Lau's brother, right? Lau's nephew. Anyways, he came up with a proposal to bring back ger toshav as a relevant category in the conservative movement, and the name he gave them was a joy, not a goy, but a joy, a goy who leans into Judaism.
Leans into Judaism?
How yes, joy. A joy. Right?
A joy.
Anyways, that question sort of, right, that sort of proposal, right, indicates what we're doing here, right? Is there such a thing? Like, is there such a status? Right? Like, there's Jew, Goy, and Joy, right?
like you said, you want to become a Jew, but
I believe he called it the Joy Proposal, I believe.
Like you said yesterday, like if the Jew wants to become a Jew, he can do everything in theory, but in practical, he has to do circumcision. If he can't do that circumcision,
but that's my point.
So
if you think the same thing is true of ger toshav, which is what the Rambam does, right? Which it seems to, which is that if there's no acceptance, you're not a ger toshav, no matter how good you are. So that leans in the direction that ger toshav is some sort of middle actual status, right? But if you say that, if you say what? Then no, as long as you do the right things, you become a ger toshav. That doesn't work for conversion, right? If someone wants to be a good Jew, but he doesn't convert, he's not a Jew. So if someone wants to be a good ger toshav, but he never has a formal acceptance, if you think it's like a conversion, then, right? Then it's nothing. But if you think, no, it's just what people do, right? It's a descriptor of certain types of goyim who keep mitzvot, so then if you're a goy who keeps those mitzvot, are you a ger toshav? Yeah. Right? Now, let me push it farther. This is something we didn't do yesterday, okay? Let me shock you even more. Let's say you have somebody who wants to be a ger toshav. And he comes before a Beis Din and he says, look, guys, I think that murder is a terrible thing. I think that stealing is a terrible thing. I think that all the incestuous relationships mentioned in the Torah are a terrible thing. I believe in a deity, and therefore I don't worship idolatry. I don't eat live animals.
right? I am fully a supporter of there being, right? I don't blaspheme, and I'm a full supporter of there being a full legal system. Okay? Did I check all seven boxes there? Right? Okay? But I must be honest with you. I'm not convinced of the story that you tell in your Torah that God revealed himself to the Jewish people and Moses at Sinai. Can I live in Israel? Am I a Ger Toshav? What would you say?
What's the deity? It's ours.
He says, I believe in one God. I think you guys are totally on the right track. I think, through an accident of history, right? I don't believe the story in your Torah about revelation, but I believe... What?
Sounds like Moses.
No, I don't believe in Islam. I believe that Judaism basically got it right, but by a happy accident. Right? Not because the Torah is right, but because it's a happy accident. So that's what I'm trying to set this up. What would you say, AB?
I would say no, as long as he follows the Allah.
Good. And what would happen if someone said, nope, not going to work? What would you say? What does that person clearly think? Well, either that it's really essential, or they think that that a Ger Toshav is some sort of convert. And therefore, it's not enough for him to be a good person and do the right things. It's important to
be the right person.
Believe the right things. Now, who holds that?
Well, he believes, no.
Who holds that?
If he believes
who holds this very radical position? He's a big name. We haven't done this yet. It's a big
there
name.
Big
the Rambam. Yes. Yeah, good. Oh, good guess.
Yes.
Good guess.
I am the stupid.
Look at this. Look at number 12. Guys, look at number 12. Look at number 12. Guys. 12. This is the Rambam, the 8th paragraph of Malachim. Moshe Rabbeinu lo hinchila Torah v'mitzvot el Yisrael. The Torah was only given to
Israel,
the Jewish people. Shenemar Morashaki Hilat Yaakov. It is the inheritance, the heritage of the Jewish people, the congregation of Israel. Or anyone who wants to convert, right? We're open to converts. Shenemar Kochem Koger. Aval. Mishelo Ratza. If someone doesn't want to convert, so what's the halacha?
He doesn't have to.
In kofinoto lekabel Torah umitzvot. V'chein tziva Moshe Rabbeinu v'yagvura lekofet kol balei olam lekabel mitzvot shenistav b'nei Noach. But we are commanded to do what? Force the world to keep the Shem mitzvos. The kol mishelo yikabel yihareg. Anyone who doesn't keep the Shem mitzvos is killed. V'mekabel otam. And one who accepts them. Who anikra Ger Toshav b'chol makom. That's a Ger Toshav.
Them being the seventh.
Yes, one second. Wait, let me read through it. V'tzarich l'kabel av b'nei shlosha chaverim. He must accept it in front of three. V'kol mekabel av l'amov av ru alav shnei mazar chodesh v'lo mal rezek kimin ha'umav. Okay, and then that's it, right? If someone says he's going to have Mila and then he doesn't after 12 months, so he goes back to being a non-Jew. Okay. Good, fine. Now, kol amikabel sheva mitzvot. So now this is the surprising halacha. Anyone who keeps the seven mitzvot, v'nizhar lasotan, harei zeh mechasidei umot ha'olam. If he keeps the seven mitzvot, he is of the pious of the world. Mechasidei umot ha'olam. V'yesh lo chelek l'olam haba. Right? It's a portion of the world to come. And here's the Rambam's chidush. V'hu she kabelotan. V'yaseotan. Mipnei shetziva bahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah vodienu al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu shebnei Noach mikodem nitztavu bahen. This is only if he accepts the Sheva Mitzvot because God gave it to Moses at Sinai. Aval im asan mipnei hechrei hadat. If he did it because it's logical, he thinks they make sense, and not because he believes that God gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. Ein ze Ger Toshav. He is not a Ger Toshav. The Eino Machaside Omar Olam. He is not pious. One second. And then you have two Gersod which are very, very different. Which is, look down. Look at it. Look at it. Come on. Look inside. Look, all of you. Look inside. Because otherwise you will not capture the importance of this Girsa issue. And then the next word is either Vilo or Ella? Mechachamehem. What is the difference?
One is yes, right?
Either it says if someone accepts the Sheva Mitzvah because they're logical, but not because God gave them to Moses at Sinai, he is not a Ger Toshav, he is not pious, and he's not even considered wise.
He's
not a Ger Toshav, he's not pious, but he is wise. Right? Those are like, you know. Yes, but just in general, you should know that it's machlokes. It's a very important machlokes, which depends on one letter, right? Vilo or Ella. But for our purposes, what's absolutely clear that the Rambam says, what does a Ger Toshav need?
To believe that
Moshe. Yeah! Right? So again, if you asked me intuitively, right? Does the Rambam think that Ger Toshav is just a guy who keeps a bunch of mitzvos, or is he somewhere in the middle? I would have said, look, he needs a formal Kabbalah, and for the Rambam, the formal Kabbalah means, right, because Moshe said so.
But the thing, Rabbi, the thing is, you said also, I had the question before.
Okay, three exclamation points and underlining. Okay, right, that sounds to me very much like, whoa, that's some sort of conversion, isn't it? Yes.
You said, in other words, that the person who doesn't keep the Shabbat mitzvah is just killed by this.
Yes.
And nowadays, there's plenty of people who don't keep the Shabbat mitzvah.
Well, that's too bad, isn't it?
Huh?
It's too bad. That's a figure for another time. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik claimed that it doesn't mean you have to kill him. It means that the courts are empowered to enforce the Shabbat mitzvah up to and including using the death penalty.
Correct. I mean, even in court,
but they don't have to use the death penalty. Other people will say, yeah, so it's a problem.
What do you want from my life? Most courts, I mean, throughout in America or even in Europe, they try to enforce the same. Most of the Sheva Mitzvahs.
Really?
I mean, some of them, no? I mean,
murder.
Okay,
let's go through the seven. Tell me how many of them are enforced in the Western world, okay?
Murder.
Abram and Achai.
No,
this is called fear factor, right? Eat live animals, right? Right?
I'm not saying most, I'm just saying...
Okay, Birkat Hashem. Is it illegal to blaspheme?
No.
No. Okay.
To blaspheme? Okay.
Blasphemy.
Curse God.
No.
No. Stealing?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. Dinim, okay, we'll leave that. Set up a court system, maybe yes.
Yes.
Sure. Right? Murder?
Yes.
Yeah. Forbidden sexual relationships.
Depending how.
Oh, good. So let's see. Adultery.
Yes.
Adultery is legal in every country in the West. What are you talking about?
Adultery. Okay.
Adultery.
Okay. Yes.
That's one of the forbidden relationships. Incest?
Yes.
Maybe not. Right. Incest is illegal in most countries.
Is
this America?
Yeah. What about homosexuality?
No. Depends who.
In what Western country do you know that it's illegal?
Oh, you're right. You're going,
what are you talking about? I keep getting, right, you know, I keep seeing, like, ads everywhere for the Mitzara Gava, right? You know, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, we had one of those stories.
And Avodah Zarah, how many places do you know that don't allow people to be Hindus or maybe Christians?
Israel.
What are you saying?
Israel,
don't allow people?
They do.
Oh,
they go and they kill them for having...
No,
for,
they don't allow churches.
They do. What are you saying?
We have a Christian quarter.
We have the Greek Orthodox.
What are you
that's
talking
the only
about?
One I know of is
first of all, there are many churches. Second of all, they kill people
for
being...
No, I didn't kill them.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, okay, fine. No.
Right?
They're going to die. I didn't realize
right?
You were talking
it's
about...
It's enforced. Even, yes. Is there any criminal punishment for being a Christian? No.
Jesus.
No. Right? Or being an Avodah Zarah. So for, out of seven, right, we got a... Gezel and Hereg, short of Dinim.
Yeah. I mean, we at least we have three,
Avodah Zarah and Znut. Some of Znut,
what is,
right?
Some
eggs. Some,
what?
Out of seven, right?
What is...
No. Mostly not.
What is
right? Not at all.
What is
all the forbidden relationships? Right. So sure, incest is enforced in most countries. Adultery, homosexuality is not. So pray tell, in what country do you live in that they enforce the Sheva Mitzvah?
At least they enforce three, Rabbi.
least eight of
so,
three.
Do you know what we call it when you only get three right out of seven? Failing. Right?
Failing. Right? You're lucky if you can get half of the sum of those.
I mean, vegans don't eat animals.
Sure, in Canada, maybe that's passing, because in Canada, 51% is passing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Or 55% maybe.
Maybe.
Because wow. You're at 55. But it's not exactly flying colors.
I'm moving to Canada.
Canada.
I know.
You said Kenya.
I said Kenya.
Right. I don't know what the passing rate is in Kenya. I have
what,
no clue.
Passing, what,
do they
passing
even have
exactly?
tests?
Yes, like 51, 55 or something.
Plus it's 50.
What?
That's 50%.
Yeah, in America it's 65.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, the thing is, pass is the best because we have all the things, so that's why they know it.
Can people get out
sure.
of
the anyways.
No, we'll go out of better work the field.
Okay, guys. But again, so if you just put that out, I would have been like, you know, that's that sort of indicates, like the Rambam might think, that it's a
type of
conversion. Good. Now, I gave you quickly in 16 that the Rajba refers to a ger toshav with the same language that is used for a ger, namely ger shenit gayer katan shenolad dami, right? Which seems to go in the direction that it's a status similar to gerut. Okay. So, another one, the Ber Halacha on 17. Okay. The Ber Halacha has the following question: can a ger toshav accept other mitzvos such that they become binding on him? All right. So look at 17, guys. Look at 17, Ber Halacha. Kazmikol Zeis Bonanti Shesharlik in the Dvarav, the Sri Lamagan of Ramkam Kandana Bar Yisrael Klal Ubachal Gertoshav, who, but Kol Kasher Kasabnu, right? He's not a Jew, he's a Gertoshav. El Desfirli de Gertoshav Gufa Imrotin Lekabel of Eight Chilas Geruso. Oh, Mitzvos Bilvara Sheva, the Magan of Ramba told that if one accepts upon himself his Gertoshavness, if he wants to accept more mitzvot, Chala kapalato. His acceptance takes effect. Shemichuyav achar kach likayim. That henceforth, he must keep those mitzvot. Etc. Right? He raises the possibility that it's possible that when someone accepts his ger toshavness, there's basic ger toshav, which is 7, but if he wanted to, he could accept 200, and it would be obligatory. From the second he accepted it, there's no turning back. What does that sound like to you? Sounds pretty strong to me, yes?
Take some form of Judaism.
Yeah, like some form of gerus, right? Right? Like, it's not a complete gerus, he doesn't accept the whole package. Right? But whatever he does accept, it can be more expansive than 7, and if he accepts it, it is binding. Right?
Whatever he accepts above the 7 is binding.
If he does it be'et kabalato, right? When he is becoming ger toshav, he says, I want to be a ger toshav plus. They say, good, what mitzvot are we signing you up for? And then he can't turn back.
That implies that the ger toshav only require the 7 mitzvot b'nei noah.
Yes, and that's how most poskim paskin.
Oh, we're already getting to what we paskin by. I thought we're still in the machloket.
No, this is the Ber Halacha, right? The Ber Halacha is already working within the assumption that you only need 7, right? But his whole assumption that what?
Is that
that at his Kabbalah he can be a different type of Gertoshav and not be able to turn back, like have obligations that are beyond the mere Sheva Mitzvahs. What does that seem to point in the direction of?
That he's someone more than a Jew.
Yeah, not more than a Jew.
More than a
good.
A Gertoshav plus it makes him close to a Jew.
Good. Okay? So. So. Now. Based on this, there's a fundamental machlokas achronim. Okay? Some achronim, like Rav Gustman and Rav Kahaneman, take the very strong position that a ger toshav is a mikzas gerus, is a status somewhere between Jew and non-Jew. The Griz, right, the Brisker Rav and Rav Asher Weiss, take a very strong position that...
It's just a boy who keeps me
swollen. Good. Oh, right, sorry. Another nafkamim we did yesterday was, can I'm Pogimbo? right, was that the Rambam has the very mechudash position that if a Jew is caught sleeping with a ger toshav, the normal potential consequence, which is that a zealot can kill him, doesn't apply.
But you do lash it.
Rabbinically. Right, but biblically, the option of killing him disappears. Yeah. Right, which could be understood as a function of this. Namely, I'm thinking it's a miktas geiros. Alternatively, right, the Chazon Ish just says no. Maybe the reason that Kanaim Pogam Bo applies is because of avodah zarah. And at the end of the day, at least the ger toshav is not an ovid avodah zarah. Okay.
Is in general see with the non-Jewish chayav loheg or killed by the sword.
Kanayim Pogimbo means a zealot can come and stab you during the act.
Oh, so that's not even considered one of the...
It's a kanoi, a zealot. That is what the word means. The zealots can kill him. Strike him down. Pogimbo, strike him down. Right, like Pinchas. Take a spear, stick it through the man and the woman at the same time, and carry it through the camp, right? That's a pasuk in the Taicha, right?
Pretty strong guy.
Well, then that's the Gemara's expansion of it, but the fact that he sticks the spear through...
Maybe in Balak, that's the sword in Balak.
What?
Ash's Balak?
And in Balak, yeah. You know?
Yeah, Mafta.
Yeah. Great times. Now, one piece of evidence that really points in the other direction is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that... The halacha is that if an idolater or a non-Jew takes an avodah zarah and says, "Thou shalt no longer be worshipped, for thou art not God," right? That works. That nullifies its status of avodah zarah. But a Jew cannot do that. Okay. So if a non-Jew goes over to a statue of Zeus and says, "You are not a god. You are something that I will use in the next Hercules movie," right? Then it now becomes a prop for the next Hercules movie or the next take your pick of movie about Greek gods, right? I know. They all have the name Hercules or Titan or God or something. What?
Percy Jackson.
Olympian. Sure.
So many.
Is that right? Olympian?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever, some name like that, right? You know, pick your name of the god, right? And then it's the hero will be Hercules or
that one god that we always
use?
Yeah,
the
Yeshu. Yeah, Yeshu's not the...
No, we're talking about Greek gods. Stop, don't bring in a Hindu god. I'm talking about the Greek gods right now.
I'm sorry, I should know my god.
Hey, wait.
Come on!
I should know my god right here.
Hades. Yeah, God of the Underworld. Very good.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sorry, we're really teaching here. Wait,
come on.
Mamish. Mamish!
We should know our gods. You're the one that got it wrong. I know.
Wait, and Joseph, who's
the Underworld.
Right, so that's why
the one of Hades is an Instagram for shame.
Interesting. Maybe. Maybe. Anyways.
The Dark Lord.
Anyways. Guys. The point is that the Gemara says that a ger toshav can be mevatel avodah zarah because he's considered bar mine. Right? Which is one of them. Of his kind. Which makes it sound like...
Oh, so he has to be mevatel.
Correct. Now that points very strongly in the opposite direction. Right? Now, like I said, in the Achronim, therefore, you have this very strong machlokas. Rav Kahaneman takes the, and the Rav Gosman take the evidence of Gershom and these Rambams, and they put them together and say, must be a ger toshav is a some sort of middle level, some sort of conversion. The Griz, Rosh Weiss take the position and say, no, a ger toshav is just a. Good. Now,
it's a different aspect.
Now. What I tend to think is the following, right? First, let me try to explain the Achronim, and let me give you my own position, okay? I think that what drives the Achronim is the following. What would more like, right? In Rav Gushman, this is explicit, right? Rav Gushman believes, fundamentally, though I'm not necessarily convinced that this is true, based on the Rambam in the 7th Perek of Chulin, in the Perish Mishnayos, but the Rambam in the 7th Perek of Chulin says that even the mitzvah that were given pre-Sinai are only obligatory because they were re-given post-Sinai. Because everything pre-Sinai was like, you know, irrelevant after the earth-shattering moment of Sinai, of Revelation. Rav Gushman takes this to mean, and again, I have another shir, which we can talk about a different time where I disagree with this analysis, but Rav Gushman takes this to mean that Jews and non-Jews are basically not the same taxonomy, in terms of their taxonomy. Okay? Taxonomy? Taxonomy? Yeah,
that's not related to taxonomy.
Taxonomy. The study of categorization. You know? Taxonomy. Right? Meaning, if I wanted to put it in a very extreme and crass way, and this, again, I don't agree with this, but I want to put it in the most crass way you could put it, and this is the way, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch would say it. Right? Which is that there's domain, right? Someach. Balchai, Midaber, Yisroel, right? There's this Kabbalistic notion that the world is divided into fundamentally these groups. What's a domain? A domain is a rock, lifeless thing, right? So Meach is plant, the plant world. Balchai is the animal kingdom. Midaber,
talking.
Talking meaning the humans. And then, right, so the way it's presented in the Kuzari, the way it's presented in Valatanya and the like, is that Israel is like, the same way that there's like a metaphysical jump from animal to human, there's a metaphysical jump from human to Jew. And that's basically how he reads this source. Okay, again, I like I said, I want this to be on record that I do not agree with this analysis, right? But I want to indicate basically what he's saying. Meaning, his basic, in the most extreme way of formulating it, right, is to say that a Jew and a non-Jew are right, there's a quantum leap from one to the other. Now, if you say that, so, and then you see similarities between the Ger Toshav and the Jew, right? Like, the Ger Toshav is allowed to keep more mitzvot, right? So if you think there's a quantum leap from not from human being to Jew, and now you see a Ger Toshav keeping more mitzvot, what are you going to tend to think?
He's a Jew.
Right, I mean, there had to be a conversion process to cross that threshold, right? On the other hand, the Achronim who say, no, maybe a Ger Toshav is just a non-Jew keeps more mitzvos. Right? I tend to think that he would say, right, I tend to think, why do they think that? Because they see, well, that's possible. Meaning, just because he can keep more mitzvos doesn't mean he's a Jew. Right? He could be a non-Jew keeps more mitzvos. Right? Now, where would you get this? This is the funny thing. Is the Achronim, each of the Achronim defend their positions based on two different Rambams. Dani, stay. So look for a moment at number 19, okay? The Achronim who want to say that Jews and non-Jews are basically on the same continuum, and therefore maybe a Ger Toshav is just on the same continuum, right? But he's basically a goy, he just keeps more mitzvos. They point to a Rambam in number 19. Al shisha dvarim nitzava Adam arishon. Adam was given how many mitzvot?
Seven.
I know your Hebrew is bad. Al shisha. I gave you the source. You're not looking inside. That's right. Al shisha. Thanks. This six, right? Avo dizara v'irchad Hashem shvichadam gila rado al gezav al dinim. Avo b'gzlein kabal b'yadim Moshe Rabbeinu v'adat not land. Even though they were given to us by Moshe, they're logical. Michal de v'tar yirash al elin is tabu. From the Torah, you see that Adam is commanded. Ohusif no lenoach eirim enachayish and rachav asar jodam olos ochelu. Noach got the seventh, which is live animals, right? Don't eat live animals. Nimtu sheva mitzvah. V'chein haya hadavar b'chol ha'olam ad Avraham. And this was the way the world worked until Avram. Ba Avraham, in istava yeter al elu b'milav utbal shachrev, yitzchak v'shem ha'aser, v'osit tfila acher lefnan ayom. Avram added milah, and yidav and shachrez, Yitzchak gave ma'aser, and added another tefillah. Yaakov, Hosef, Gid Anasha, and Pal Arviz. Yaakov did Gid Anasha and Mariv. Uvimitzrayim nisav Amram in mitzvot. Yisera's Amram got a bunch of other mitzvot in Mitzrayim. Ad sheba Moshe Rabbeinu minishlama Torah al yado. Until Moshe showed up and finished the Torah off. Right? What does that seem to indicate? If you just read that Rambam in isolation, that the line between Jew and non-Jew to begin with is procedural, right? Meaning the world started with 7, and then, you know, the Jewish people got, you know, 10, and then 15, and 613. And therefore, Ger Toshav is just a guy, you know.
Kept the original.
Who, like, either keeps these, or maybe even for the Bar Halacha, accepted a bunch more, I don't know.
Doesn't update the software, basically.
Right? But he's... So I think that the Achronim are so convinced by this, because the ones who say, oh, right, a Ger Toshav is a chalois, right, is a status, tend to think that the gap between Jew and non-Jew is large, and therefore when they see so many similarities, they say, something must have happened that has changed him in his soul, right? The ones who say, nah, maybe it's just like a non-Jew who accepted some more mitzvah. Right, tend to say, well, that's fine because, you know, Judaism itself was a process, right? There's like a continuum. Okay? Now, what I was trying to say yesterday, though, is that I think that all this is just... I don't agree with anything I just said, basically, the last 2 days. I just don't. Right? Is that... Meaning I do and I don't. Right? Is that I tend to think that there's a better way of dealing with the evidence... which is to recognize that, as I said yesterday, right, in ideal Judaism, to be a quote-unquote Jew has two implications, right? What is it?
Mitzvot and Mila and...
No. Religious and...
Oh, political.
Political, right? The ideal Jew, right? Classic is, right? What's the ideal way the Torah is kept? Where? Where?
In Israel.
Thank you. Right? Right? The ideal Torah vision is a religious polity. Polity. Yes, political entity.
I knew you probably would connect.
The Jewish polity, right? In Israel, which means that Jew means has a religious overtone and a political overtone, right? And as I mentioned yesterday, there is some sort of bleeding between these categories, right? Clearly, right? Meaning political usually means like having to do with government, but the government enforces religious law. Right? So it's not, right? There isn't a clean break. Right? But fundamentally, there are two aspects. And at its core, what is a Ger Toshav? What do we know a Ger Toshav is? He's a non-Jew who is allowed to remain in Israel in the ideal form, get social welfare. Right?
He's a political Jew versus religious Jew.
Correct. That's what I tend to think. Is that a Ger Toshav is the Torah's way of saying that someone is Israeli but not Jewish, to use modern terminology. Right? Is that he's a legitimate citizen of the Jewish state, but not a Jew. Right? Israeli, not Jewish.
He also has to accept the state.
So he said one of the Arabs who live in Israel are Ger Toshav.
Potentially, that's the argument that's been made. Right? But I think, right, the category of Ger Toshav fundamentally...
Yeah, but by saying that, you could have a Christian who lives in Israel.
One second. Israel is not the ideal Jewish state. In an ideal Jewish polity, which is run by the Torah, right, a Torah polity, right? Right? There, that's why I said, these bleed. Right, nowadays, to be an Israeli is a secular thing entirely. But in a religious polity, it's not. Right? I know this is a dirty word, but in a theocracy, God forbid, right? A theocracy, right? There isn't a clean split. You're like, what the heck is a theocracy? Right? Government run by religion, right?
What is that go well?
It has been for hundreds of years and years.
Yes. Theocracies, right? In a Jewish theocracy, there isn't going to be a clean split. So yes, Nachum, in the modern state of Israel, we may not enforce the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. But in an ideal Jewish polity, and a Torah polity, right? We would, right?
And therefore, there's no contradiction between saying that Ger Toshev is primarily political, right? Meaning the implications are primarily you're allowed to live in the land. We'll sign you up for Medicare, right? Or whatever, for Bituach Lomi. One second. Right, there's no contradiction between saying primarily it's political. You're Israeli. There are obviously some religious implications because there's not a full split between those two, right? We can't have you messing with the fundamental ethos of the country, God forbid, which is, you know, believe in God at least, don't blaspheme, kill, steal, commit adultery, v'chule, right? And I think... One second. Now, I think that this is why... Now, this doesn't explain every shita, right? There are some shita that I have to admit sound like they think more like this is an actual mikzas geiros, right? Like really, like sort of Jewishness, and other shita that are the way the extreme. But if you just ask me my personal opinion in the sugya, right? Like what is the most intuitive way of reading the sugya, right? Is that this is a ger toshav. That there is a status, but it's not a religious status, it's a political one. And therefore political halachot are going to be the ones most affected by the status of Ger Toshav. Again, L'Hachyoto being the classic. Right? We let him live in the country and we support him. We put him on Bituach Lomi. Right? That's the sense of L'Hachyoto means.
But there's a point why, even though what the state has done, you know, over the past 30 years, there's a reason why they do that.
I didn't say there wasn't. But this is not what we're talking about. Ger Toshav is not a... right?
I know.
There have been many attempts to bring back Ger Toshav into modern Israeli political discourse, but I'm talking in an ideal world.
Seriously?
Yes. A lot. Not just the joy proposal.
That's a joy
proposal. It's cold. I kid you not. I am better read in the works of other denominations than I care to admit. Right? And therefore, I am now admitting it. I am relatively well read in the works of other denominations. I at least want to know what's going on in the Olam.
Give the example of politically also implying that it's not the specific Israel we have now; it's more.
The one I want to the halacha that I think really points to this, like I said, is this very bizarre halacha that the Gemara says in number 15. That if a Ger Toshav kills a Ger Toshav by accident, he goes to an Ir Miklat. Right? But if a Ger Toshav kills a Jew, then he can't be protected by the Ir Miklat. Right? I think what that indicates is that Ir Miklat is itself sort of both of these. Right? One second. Right? An Ir Miklat has two functions. Right? Part of it is simply political. Right, meaning it's the punishment or the containment of accidental murder.
Confinement,
right, something like that. But it's also religious because the Gemara calls it a kapara.
Yeah.
Right? So I think here you sort of see a splitting of the difference where a Ger Toshav is a citizen. If he kills a Ger Toshav, right, there's no religious implications here. He just killed another citizen by accident. So he takes advantage of the Ir Miklat.
But if it's not
right?
Like it's a Jew,
but if he kills a Jew, right, where there's now a religious component, right, because, right, they may be equivalent citizen-wise, but they're not religiously, right, part of it is missing, right? Like, there can't necessarily be a kapara in the same way from Ir Miklat, right? And if you just look at the Ritva for a moment, and just the last source, right, the Ritva, I think, goes in this direction. And he says, Alma, Ger Toshav Kutiyu. Shlosh Hashem Hashem Nemru Bekutim. Ger Toshav Benoach Bekuti. There are three languages used by the Gemara for these non-Jews. Ger Toshav Benoach Bekuti. Ger Toshav Ushakibo Bevezin Shal Yisrael Akayim Shem Mitzvah Shistava Benoach. It is above the Zorah. Ger Toshav is someone who accepted the Sheva Mitzvot because Zemutul is Yashav Beinenu Vazanikra Toshav. And he's allowed to live among us. And that's why he's a Toshav, meaning primarily, what is the implications of Ger Toshav? Political. He can live in Israel. But since he did it in Bezdin, he's mitzuvah. It's for those he's mitzuvah v'yoseh. V'chiha anu mitzuvin lachyoso, and therefore we have to support him. Obviously, you can't cause him to die. Or to put him in the pit.
He doesn't keep the mitzvos because, with accepting it, so he's just an eino mitzvah v'yosef. Nechsev amad v'imadet eretz, etc. And then you don't have to be right to support him, but you still shouldn't cause him to die, etc. So what does he say, right? He says, look, if you, right, meaning the fundamental implications are that we support you and that we let you live among us, right? Now, there also are sort of some religious implications, right? Meaning if you just keep them Shema Mitzvot, so we don't have to support you, but we don't kill you, right? Meaning we sort of, if you've actually gone through the formal process, so there are religious implications. I think it's, maybe not. Maybe the Rishba isn't saying this, right? Maybe the Rishba is saying there's two levels to this. But anyway, I think this explains a lot of the evidence, right? Is that, not all of it, but that fundamentally, Ger Toshav is closer to being, right, an Israeli in a religious polity. And therefore, there are some religious implications, but the primary implications you're going to see are political, right? Support and the like, right? Being allowed to live there. And I think that explains a lot of the evidence, right? I think a hardcore position to say that this is not a change in status at all is hard, or to say that it's a change in religious status is hard, right? To say that it's primarily a change in political status, right? But that there are certain implications religiously because of the nature of the bleeding of religious and political in an ideal Jewish polity, right? I think explains the evidence. It's not fully, right, neat, but I think it does do a decent job at explaining most of the evidence. Yeah.
So, well, when you talk about before with the Ger, how the Ger becomes another Ger and gets the political look, I can understand it, except when it's two Jews, it's still the Eremi Klal doesn't have to take effect.
Correct, because if you're on the same religious and political status, right, if there's only a problem when there's a disparity, right, where it's a Jew and Ger Toshav,
right,
then politically they may be the same, but the religious disparity creates a problem. Right, and that's where the Ger Mikla doesn't work. Right, that's how I'd explain that evidence.
So the only way that would change is if the punishment itself was religious or political.
Right, but since it's somewhere in between, right, you're sort of stuck. The political aspect applies, the religious doesn't, in the same exact way, right, and therefore you fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. Right, that's how I would do it. Okay, those are, again, we could spend weeks on this and try to really flesh it out, but that's I think my basic thesis, and I presented sort of the main machlokes achronim, and where I think that there maybe is a possibility of coming up with a compromise language in the middle, where you do recognize there are serious changes, but they're mostly on the political front. But again, there are religious overtones because in ideal religious polity there isn't a clear split of church and state by its very definition. Okay. Okay, that's my basic thoughts on this. So again, we'll go back to Tefillat Kelim tomorrow.